We need to take that out there. We need to take that to the world. Look also, if you would, in Acts 26. This is going to be a two-part series, since I'm preaching tomorrow. I'm going to have mercy on you guys, so you guys better show up. Acts 26. Let me find it first. Acts 26. This is the verse that hasn't been said in the meetings yet. A little surprised. Verse 16, talking about Paul's conversion. You know, this is an awesome story too. Really amazes me. You know, here we have a man who's persecuting the church, and he gets saved. And he has the world against him. Can you imagine, you know, having your part? That's a great book, man. I mean, I haven't finished reading it, you know, but there's some powerful stuff in there. You know, and what amazes me, it's incredible. These people die for what they believed in. They die. They actually go and say, you know what? I'm a Christian. And not only that, because they took that step of faith and said, God's going to work everything out. I'm saved. I'm born again. If they want to persecute me, they want to persecute me. And they go ahead and do it. Sometimes, I was reading in there, that sometimes even the soldiers, the people that are taking them there to torture them, get saved. And then they jump into the fire, or they jump under the axe, or they do something like that. They get tortured. I mean, they're seeing a testimony. They're seeing this person dying for somebody that said that they just heard, man. They heard that somebody died for them, and you know, they bought them, and now they're giving their life for the gospel, for a testimony, and some of them even get saved. It's amazing. Look what it says here. It says both. And from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes, and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in Christ Jesus. Oh man, this is powerful, brethren. He was sent to open their eyes. He was sent so they can turn from the power of Satan. Is that true? Is that true? Are we under the dominion of Satan? That's what the Bible says. We are born into this world, not children of God, but children of the devil. We shouldn't be following his ways. We shouldn't be going back into the world. We should count it all as done. Man, I tell you what, I don't know, but if the Lord, you know, if the Lord wraps this up and, you know, closes the doors in this church, doesn't use us anymore, what are you going to do? That's a scary thought. It really is. But I believe in my heart that God didn't look at the numbers. You know, is there somebody here that wants to do what he has called us to do? Is there somebody here that wants to open their eyes? That wants to turn them from darkness to light? Is there anybody here that wants to turn them from the power of Satan that they may receive forgiveness of sins? You know, I didn't know that I was a sinner. Seriously, believe that I was a sinner until someone told me. I didn't believe that until someone told me. Someone opened up the Bible and they let me know. We have a responsibility to do the same thing. What we have received freely, I didn't pay a nickel for it, man. Nothing. I didn't pay nothing for it. What I have received, man, I'm a debtor. I gotta tell. I have to tell. You have to tell. Hey, man, you know, I don't think God is calling us to do too much. I really don't. You know, it really is amazing to me how many people reject the security we have in Jesus. You know, there's a guy in Mexico who actually Brent started the study with him. And this guy and his family, they were jumping around from religions, man. Jumping around. They find them. We start having studies with them. They seem like they're sincere. But you know, just a few months back, they stopped coming to the church. And then we try to visit them or whatever, and they just washed up or whatever. Well, it turns out this guy and his family has gone back to the Catholic Church. And he's gone back, and because he is
rejected the Mormons and the Protestants and the Jehovah's Witness. Man, this guy's been it all. But because he's rejected all these things and gone back to the Catholic Church, now the Catholic Church is giving him a little help, a little support, helping him out. He went back for the money. It's a shame. Now, you know, I don't know if he got saved or not. Who knows? We baptized him. I don't know if he got saved. But you know, he went back. I can't go back. I got saved. Amen. You know what I'm saying? I know that I believed in Christ. I cannot go back. I don't know how anybody would want to live worldly. I just don't, I can't understand it. And I'm not talking in the sense, hey brother, we all have worldly things. You know, I'm not talking about that. You know, I'm not talking about dreaming about getting a bigger boat or, you know, a bigger house or whatever. Hey man, you know, sometimes we, you know, it's just a Christian walk and we gotta, you know, work it all out. But I'm talking about doing a 360 and going all the way back. I can't do that. I want to go forward. I want to press on. I want to run this race that God has given me. You know, God has given me, I mean, I actually have a spot in this race. And I'm running. You know, I'm running. You know, I mean, these guys are running for the Olympics, man. Running to get that gold medal. Forget that. I'm in God's race. Hey man, I'm a little big and I probably can't run that fast. But you know what? I'm gonna endure, brother. Amen. I'm gonna pick up a pace that I can handle. Amen. And I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna press on. And oh man, how I wanna be here in 3 years, brother. Amen. When the rigs in the West get back. I wanna be here. I wanna be right here. I wanna be right there listening to these guys telling us what God has done in Poland. Amen. Don't you want that? I want that. Maybe the Lord will come back and they'll be telling us this in heaven. They'll be saying, man, Lord, this is what I've done. And we'll be all rejoicing. But you know what? It's going to be too late to do anything once we're up there. It's going to be too late, man. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you, Lord, for another night you've given us, Lord, to hear your word. Oh, we ask, Lord, that you use us, Father. That you use this church, Lord, to take the gospel into all the world. Lord, that you save and you start churches, Lord. We ask for you to build this church, Lord. Help us to serve you better every day, Lord. We ask these things in Jesus' name.
Well, for those of you who are wondering, this is a different shirt. I already asked. I already had somebody ask me, are you wearing the same shirt?
You have two gray shirts.
No, actually, the yellow's lighter. This is a little darker. And this also has a stain on it somewhere right there. See that? Karen said, make sure you keep your arm right there. All right. It's been a great week, you know, like Brian was saying. You know, I'd like to thank, all your hard work, to keep us fed and, fellowship and open the houses for us and all this. It's been great, man. Been some good eating all week long. I'm not just talking about, regular food, you know, but, spiritually, really, it's been real good. Mornings and evening meetings have been really, really good. And, I just like for you guys to know that, that we are thankful, seriously, about, all your efforts that you put out, towards the Lord Jesus Christ. Open your Bibles to 2 Peter. I want to talk about a prophet by the name of Balaam. You know, last night I was talking about this church. I was talking about, you know, about the future. Talking about some things that I'm looking forward to in this work that we have. I was talking about, you know, it'd be a shame for this work just to close up, you know, for God just to quit moving and, not have that fire, not have that, you know, power that I think we've had over the years and taking this gospel to a lost world. You know, they ain't nothing else that we need to keep busy about. They ain't nothing else. This is it. The gospel. Spreading the gospel to the lost world. You know, the reason why I started off that way, the reason why I started in just reminding you about what we have at stake is so you can just think about it. Think about all that the Lord's done in your life, you know? Think about when God saved you. Think about how much responsibility we have to take this gospel out to the lost world. You know, I think last night I also said that I'm not looking at numbers, you know? I'm not talking about numbers as far as winning lost souls, but what I'm talking about is that I don't think God is interested in numbers to support the mission field, you know? What God wants is a strong church. What God wants is strong people. And I thought about three things concerning this guy Balaam. Three things that Balaam did to hinder Israel, to hinder the work. God spoke through this man, Balaam. Read here in 2 Peter in verse 15. He says here, talking about Balaam, he says, which, talking about the false prophets, he says, which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Bozar, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumb ass speaking with man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. Now this story about Balaam, it's found in Numbers chapter 22. And if you start off reading right there in the first verse, it talks about this king by the name of Balak. And this guy calls Balaam. He calls him because obviously this guy has a reputation of doing some magical stuff. I don't know. But he wanted Balaam to curse Israel because he was a little scared. You see, Israel had just gotten done offending God, and they repented. They got it right. And they were right there on his borders. And he saw a great multitude right there. And he was a little scared because God had given nations into the hands of Israel. He had given, they repented, and God said, look, I'm going to give you, just go in there and possess the land. But they repented, you see, before. And God gave it to them. Well, this guy, this king was a little scared. You know, we find over there in Numbers 22, if you want to turn there real quick. Numbers chapter 22. In verse 3, it says, and Moab was so afraid of the people because they were many. And Moab was distressed because of the children of Israel. And he called this guy and he wanted him to curse Israel. Well, you know, it's a funny thing. God didn't want to do it. You know, Balaam did something wrong here. He did something wrong. This guy calls and he offers them money. He offers them honor to promote this guy to a position. If only he would come and curse Israel, God's people. But you know what? He listened and he went with them. It's an amazing thing. He already knew what God said, but he went anyways. It's an amazing thing. Look, right here it says in verse 9, the men were there, they were talking to him. In verse 9, it says here, and God came to Balaam and said, what men are these with thee? You know, he had no business even talking to these guys. And he was with them. And then he goes. God tells him not to go, and he goes anyways. And God tries to use a mule to talk to him, and he still doesn't listen. He goes anyways. You know why he went? Because he had his eyes on money. He wanted money. He wanted honor. He wanted to be lifted up in this world. You know what I think? I think that can be a hindrance. If we want to build a strong church, then we need to keep our eyes off the things of this world. Man, it's going to cost you something. If we want to win souls for Christ, it's going to cost something. If we want to keep this church, and I'm not just talking about us as a body. I'm talking about each and every one of us because we are the church of God. Each and every one of us is a vessel. And just like the brother said, I don't know who said it, but God doesn't pick up a broken tool to use. God wants a tool that can be used effectively. And one thing that can destroy the work is if we put our eyes on this world. It's an amazing thing. Brother Lindell said that many times over the years that he's gone against the money. He's gone against the money. He said, a few times he could have been a rich man, but he decided to go against the money. I think God's blessed. I really do. You know, I don't think we should keep our eyes on this world and try to work hard and hard and get everything that we possibly can here in this world. I really don't think that should be our main focus. I don't think that our main focus ought to try to get people in here with money. I don't think that should be our strong focus. I think what we ought to do is preach the word. I don't think we should keep our eyes away from this word and look into other places. I think we should just preach what God has right here and keep our eyes on the author of our faith.
Amen. Verse 17 of Peter, 2 Peter. Talking about Balaam here, talking about these guys who are preaching the wrong thing, who are putting their eyes on the money, going the way of Balaam. Covetousness. The way of Balaam. It says here, these guys are wells without water. Wells without water. It says these guys are clouds that are carried with a tempest. You know, I don't want to be a well without water. I don't want to be just a cloud that looks like it has rain. I don't want to be carried by the wind. I want to be carried by the Spirit.
Amen.
You know what I'm saying? I don't want to be just look good. I want to do the work. You know, it's just an amazing thing. Jesus said in John chapter 7. Look there real quick. John chapter 7. Chapter 7 verse 37. He says, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. You know what's supposed to be flowing out of us is living water.
Amen.
We're not supposed to be wells that are dried up. And a lot of times we are. We're not supposed to be clouds that look like we have rain. We're supposed to be letting rain out. We have that water living inside of us. This world doesn't have that. This world is lost and going to hell. We figured that out? Lost and going to hell. Sometimes I think we get used to that phrase. Lost and going to hell. Oh, he's just lost and going to hell. You know? Let's just go on with our life. You know, I think over there in Jeremiah, I was reading there just the other day. They were in the talking about the captivity. And God is talking to Israel, and he's saying, you know, go out there and build your houses. Plant. Eat. Give your daughters in marriage. You know, let your sons marry, man. Have children in the midst of Egypt, in the midst of the captivity. Hey, you know what? I don't think God is telling us we got to live poor. I don't think God is telling us, you know, forget about your carnal things. I think what God is trying to tell us is let's keep focused. Get our priorities right. We want to build a strong church. Keep our eyes off the world, off the riches. Let me tell you, man, this world has a lot to offer, but it ain't worth it. We're going to lose it all, man. We're going to lose it all. Look, if you will, also in Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 5. Talking about this living water that the child of God has. Proverbs chapter 5, verse 15. He says, drink waters out of thine own cistern, and running waters out of thine own well. Let thy fountains be dispersed abroad, and rivers of waters in the streets. You know what we're supposed to be doing? Drinking that living water. We're supposed to be giving that living water freely. That's amazing to me that we all received, if we're born again, we have received water freely. But yet sometimes we are so caught up, we don't want to give it. Sometimes we start, you know, thinking about us. Well, I got to have this, I got to have that. But you know, brothers, I think we need to give. I think we need to give this word. And I think we need to preach it. And I think we need to stand behind it. Oh, I tell you what, pack this place out. Oh, I want this place packed out. I want it packed out, but I want the right people in here. I want the people in here that want to carry this gospel out somewhere else. Those are the people I want. Man, I don't want people that just want some kind of a social gathering. Forget that, man. If you want to have a social gathering, go to gyms. But here we got something to do. Right here in this building, we got to preach and we got to teach. Why? Because the evil days are coming, man. Those days are right around the corner. And you know what? If we're not grounded in what God has to say, we're going to fall. Oh, you know what? This church could go 50 years. It could go another 100 years, man. But what kind of church is it going to be?
Is it going to be a church full of social programs? Is it going to be a church that invites, you know, all these kind of groups in and we go and have parades with them and everything else and not worry about anything but just ourselves? Or is it going to be a church that preaches the Word of God and is concerned about souls? You know what I've figured out? I figured out that Jesus actually changes lives. He actually puts marriages together. He actually puts friends together. He can work things out that I can't work out. If somebody gets saved, if somebody hears the Word and gets really saved, then man, we've fixed the problem. We have fixed it because Jesus is in the business of fixing it. Also, look in Jude. Another thing I found here pretty interesting. Jude talks about Balaam again here. Verse 11. It says here, "Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, perished in the gainsaying of Korah." You know, I was thinking about the error of Balaam. Going back to that story in Numbers in chapter 22 and 23, after God had told him not to go, and he went anyways, God said, okay, go ahead and go. But the word that I told you, the message I gave you, that's what you're going to give to him. And it is that you're not going to curse Israel. You're not going to do it. They're my people. But he goes anyways, okay? He goes, and this king takes them up upon these mountains to check out Israel from three different sides. Well, man, he goes on the one mountain, he's looking at them, and he says a parable, and he blesses them. Okay, let's go to another mountain. Takes them to another mountain. He has another view of this place, of this people. And he can't find anything wrong with them. Goes to another mountain. Nothing. He blesses them each time. Well, you know what I think? This guy wanted a curse. That's what I think. Otherwise, he went to God, to three mountains. He wanted to give this king what he wanted. You know, many times I think we look in ourselves and we think, you know, I can't be used. You know what Balaam thought? Balaam thought these people should be cursed. He thought, this is a wicked people. They're going to get cursed. But what he forgot, his error, is that God is ready to forgive. God's ready to forgive, man. You know, you don't have to be put away on some shelf. You don't have to be just idle. Isn't that amazing? That at whatever moment, at whatever stage you are in your Christian walk, you can repent of your sin, you can repent of your laziness, and you can turn to God, and He can use you. God is in the business of repairing. Amen. God is in the business of putting things back together. I want a strong church. I want to be a strong servant. You know what that means? That means I got to go to God. I got to repent. I got to go back to God. Look what it says in Psalms. Turn to Psalms 56:13. 56:13 says this, "For thou hast delivered my soul from death. Will not thou deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living?" You know what God has delivered us? He has. Amen. From death. That's what God's done. He's delivered us, and we are His people. You know the thing that amazed me through as I was reading these three chapters? The thing that amazed me over everything else, Israel had no idea what was going on. They had no idea, man. Israel was down there, and they were trying to get back, and they were doing their things down there on the bottom, you know? But they had no idea that God was standing in the gap, and He was watching over Israel. He was watching over them. And He was making sure, no, man, I'm not going to curse these people. They're mine. Oh, yeah, Israel, lots of times they've fallen. Lots of times we've fallen. We get up, repent, and we can be used. It says in Numbers, talking about God's promises, in Numbers 22:23-19, as Balak was hearing what Balaam had to say about these people, he said in 19, "God is not a man that He should lie, neither the son of man that He should repent. Hath He said, and shall He not do it? Or hath He spoken, and shall He not make it good? Behold, I have received commandment to bless, and He hath blessed, and I cannot reverse it." You know what? We have that same promise in Christ Jesus. Amen.
That same promise. God has promised to bless us. Man, I can't even imagine, I can't even start, finish counting how many blessings I have received from God.
It's amazing to me. You know, in this room, man, I guarantee you, you wouldn't be able to stop counting. Just talking about children. Look how many children are in here. Just look at them. I came up here a couple months ago to pick up some tracts, and you had a vacation Bible school. I couldn't believe it. It was awesome. All these kids in here. You know? I walked into Brother Steve, and he was in there teaching. He didn't have time to even say a couple words to me. If I was anybody else, I think anybody else would probably got offended, you know, because Brother Steve didn't talk to him. That's how we are sometimes. Amazing, isn't it? But he was busy. He was teaching the teenagers. Because, you know, I don't know if you have figured this out yet either, but this world is pretty wicked. We need to get a hold of our young people. We need to teach them, or else this world's going to take them. They're going to swallow them right up. I'm not talking about salvation either. I'm just talking about their life. Their life. If your kids are saved, they belong to Christ. The blessings we have from God. You know, me, I don't have no children. But I guarantee you walk into my house and you wouldn't guess that. You wouldn't guess that I wouldn't have no children. You can't walk in my yard without finding little people all over the place. You know why? Because I got a nephew and a niece. And they're always over. They're always over. In my house, you can't lift up a chair without finding marbles all over the place. Steven, you pick up your marbles? Yeah, I picked them up, but I find them all over the place. Every once in a while, you know, I get a craving for a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, you know. I go with, man, we got this big old jar of jelly in the refrigerator. And I open it up about a few months ago, and I was going to get me some jelly. You know what was in there?